Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori. And it is my pleasure to say hello to Martin Davis, author and publisher of the greatest of them all, The Legend of Bobby Jones. He's done so many incredible coffee table books. Martin, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Anne. Glad to be here again.
Well, Bobby Jones, what can you say about one of the most influential figures in the history of golf and sport? Obviously a lawyer, a most successful amateur golfer, winning the Grand Slam in 1930 and retired from competition at the age of 28. Just so much to be said about Bobby Jones, but a lot more to Bobby Jones than his actual playing career, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we had 13 major championship victories. In those days, the amateur game was certainly equal to, and in some cases better than, the professional game. He won 5 U.S. amateurs, 1 British amateur, 4 U.S. Opens, and 3 British Opens, played on 5 Walker Cup teams, you know, went on to found Augusta National Golf Club, and then the Masters. Just an incredible, extraordinary individual. If that's all there was to him, he would have gone down as one of the greatest ever, and certainly into the Hall of Fame for just any one of those, just either his playing or his founding of the club or the Masters. But what people tend to forget, and you have to dig a little bit beyond just the surface, was that his essential character was incredible. You know, he started out as a youngster, he was a real hothead. He used to throw clubs, he'd get angry. The RNA had to admonish him when he played in the Open Championship at St. Andrews in the early 20s. He ripped up his scorecard. USGA had to admonish him as well for throwing clubs, and said, if you keep that up, we're not going to let you play in our events. But it was this essential character that really grew for him. For example, he outgrew all of the hot-headedness, but he also, on 2 occasions in national championships, he called penalties on himself that nobody else saw. And his famous quote was, when someone said, well, why did you even call them? He said, you might as well laud a man for not robbing a bank.
I remember reading about that.
Mm-hmm. He was, you know, a very talented player. And you can make the case that he was one of the greatest players of all time. It may be the greatest, in that from 1923, when he won his first U.S. Open in Inwood, till the time he closed out the Grand Slam in 1938 at Marion, he either finished first or second in every major he played in 80% of the time. No one else can say that, not Jack, not Ben Hogan, and certainly not Tiger. You know, he became, after he graduated from Georgia Tech, he went to Harvard for a second degree, and this one in English, became a very fine writer, if you ever read his writings. He went to Emory Law School for 2 years, took the bar after his second year. You didn't have to finish law school in those days, became a very fine attorney. He was an opera buff. He's what we would call a Renaissance man.
Sure, a true Renaissance man.
There was just so much to him. And for that, you know, we tend to forget a lot of that, but really really interesting. There was Grantland Rice, who was America's first great golf writer, maybe the greatest ever, sports writer, was a good friend of Jones's and was a founding member of Augusta National. And he wrote, and Jones kept this framed on his desk. And let me just, it's just a very short little couplet. For when the one great scorer comes to write against your name, he writes not whether you won or lost, but how you played the game. And that's how Jones led his entire life. There wasn't a lot of golf memorabilia in his office. There were just two little things, nothing to do with the Grand Slam, but this frame piece was on his desk. And I think that really summed Jones up the best. It's how you played the game.
That's right. I talked to Bob Jones, the fourth grandson of Bobby Jones. And he had so much insight, Marty. It's just an incredible interview, if I may say so myself. He was talking about his grandfather, so gentle and so sweet, but he just had such a fierce competitor that carried over, obviously, to his career on the golf course. Nobody does what Bobby Jones did in such a short period of time. He didn't play long. And he was ailing. He was always sickly as a child. But just that fierce competitiveness was unbelievable how he just turned it on when he was on the golf course. And Bob Jones, the fourth, also said that his grandfather was very much in the present, always, even toward the end of his life. Bob Jones, the fourth, the grandson, only knew his grandfather when he was ailing. Unfortunately, his grandfather was in a wheelchair the majority of the time that Bob Jones, the fourth, knew his grandfather. And he never talked about his glorious career with his grandson. He never went back. He only stayed in the presence. He never talked about creating Augusta National with Clifford Roberts. He never talked about creating the Masters. He never would look back. He was always in the presence, which I thought was just fascinating.
Yeah, I've heard Bob say that. Herb Wynn wrote, and I'm let me see if I can remember part of it, that Jones had the best life had to offer and the worst as well, and handled both with equal aplomb. It was 1947, 1948 when he played his last golf, and he lived until, the early 1970s. So 71, I think, is when he passed away. And he had this horrible disease of the spinal column called syringomyelia, right, which there still isn't a cure for. But he was just this gracious, wonderful, wonderful man.
Definitely. And on his deathbed, his son told me in this show, you'll hear this interview with Bob Jones, the fourth, his son said that even on his deathbed, Bobby Jones said, "Boy, if this is what dying is like, it's beautiful." So he even carried that presence, that amazing persona,
hey,
before he passed.
You know who else was like that? You'll get a kick out of this. Byron Nelson was very much like that. When Byron had to have a hip operation when he was in his late 80s, and the doctor pulled him aside and said, "Byron, at your age, you may not come out of the anesthetic." And he said, "So I want to give you a chance not to have the operation." So Byron said, "Let me see if I understand this. If I come out of the operation and it works, I'll be able to play golf again." And the doctor said, "Yes." And then Byron said, "And if I don't come out of the operation, I'm going to heaven." And that was the essence of Jones was the same way. But Byron was very thoughtful and strong in his beliefs. And apparently Jones was too.
He was,
and the other thing I wanted to mention was that he would lose 10 to 15 pounds in the course of a tournament. After he, instead of throwing clubs or ripping up scorecards, he internalized everything, and it would just consume him. And in the course of a tournament over a week, he would lose 10 to 15 pounds, which is, you know, which is amazing.
And he wasn't a huge guy as it was, no. Right?
No, he wasn't. He was really an extraordinary individual. And when you look at the people that have been involved in the golf world, we've really been blessed that we've had many, not just one or two extraordinary individuals, like Arnold, and certainly Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson, of course, just some really incredible people. And then the
Jack
writers.
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, Jack and Bernard Darwin is the writer. And, you know, my old friend, Herbert Warren Wind, Alistair Cook, just amazing, amazing, you know, learned writers and sportsmen.
I know, Martin, you have another classic coming out. Arnold Palmer, American Hero. You've been working on this for a long time. I'm very excited to see this book.
Yeah, it's going to come out in time in conjunction with the U.S. Open in June, as your I'm sure your listeners will remember or have read about. That's where Arnold lost the second playoff. It was the second one in a row for the U.S. Open at Julie Boros at the Country Club, where the Open's going to be this year. I feel, Ann, like I've gone 15 rounds with Smoke and Joe and just got pummeled. The book is now, it's that large coffee table size and it's 370 pages. So it's at the printer now.
Unbelievable. How many have you done, Marty?
This is my 39th book.
What an achievement, truly, because they're so difficult to put together. They take so much time and they're really works of art. You came to one of our Anne LaGoria Foundation charity golf classic tournaments. We were at Friar's Head and you were a big hit. You were signing the Ryder Cup book, if I remember correctly. What a treat. Yeah. Everybody was able to take home. First of all, it weighs how many pounds?
9 pounds. 9 pounds.
I remember carrying your book home, your another book that you were able to do back from, where were we? Whistling Straits last year. I carried it home.
You know, it's funny. The joke is that if you get, it's 500 pages and that's 11 by 14 overall size. The joke is that if you get tired reading it, you can always work out with it because it weighs 9 pounds.
Well, it must be tremendously satisfying when you finally do finish these masterpieces.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for referring to them. This is in that big book series, this is the seventh one in the series. And yeah, yes, it is. It's extremely satisfying. And, you know, you just kind of, it's like now that I sent it to the printer last week, and now it's like a downer. You know, it's kind of like, now what do I do?
I'm sure you'll have plenty to do. It's Masters Week. It's spring is in the air. It's exciting. The azaleas are out. The magnolias are in full bloom. What does Masters Week mean to you, Martin Davis?
Well, it means I get to have dinner with you one night. It's sort of rebirth. You know, it is really the unofficial official beginning of the golf season. You know, you come down Augusta, spring is out up in our area, up in the New York metro area. It's, you know, it's still chilly and iffy and you can still get a little snow now and then and it gets cold. But down here it's spring. And when you get to Augusta, everything's green. And then somehow by the end of the week, usually all the flowers are in bloom. You know, they must have a line to God to tell them when to let the flowers open up.
It's heaven on earth for sure.
It really is.
Augusta National. Who are you picking? I can't let you go unless you until you venture a pick to win the Masters 2022.
Even though he's young, sentimentally, I think I'd love to see Rory do it. I would like to also. Kevin Kisner is playing extremely well.
Martin Davis, thanks so much. I appreciate your insight on the great Bobby Jones and look forward to seeing you in Augusta, Georgia.
Love you, Annie. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBeCool.com.